Getting people to pay for news online isn't easy. But back in March, the New York Times gave it a shot. Their online subscription model lets readers access 20 articles a month, and then you have to pay a fee to see more. The paywall was seen as a risky move at the time, but the Gray Ladies' third quarter profit reports are in, and the results are better than expected. The paper's profits are up, and the Times has seen a boost in digital subscribers. To hash out what this means for the industry, NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik is back with us. And David, what's this week's news tip?
I would say that, to steal a page from the late Steve Jobs' book, this week's news tip should be, if you only listen to the naysayers, you'll never succeed.
And David, the website Business Insider ran some numbers and found that before the paywall, a New York Times print reader was worth 228 times as much as an online reader. And so no matter how much money they're making with this porous paywall, can it really close that gap between the worth of the print and the online reader?
Well, I think it's worth doing a couple things in thinking about that. First off, it's worth remembering the prevailing wisdom has been that information on the web wants to be free. And you can't charge people for news as a commodity online. That only specialized financial information and reporting or sports coverage for the most passionate football or baseball fans really induce people to open their wallets and pay for it. But on the day that the Times put up its paywall, we invited here into our studios in New York two people. One of them is Gordon Krovitz. He's the past publisher of the Wall Street Journal. He's also the head of a group called Press Plus that's helping news organizations around the country put up their own paywalls. Here's how he explained what the challenge was for news organizations and why it was important to charge people for news online.
Ad revenues are, over time, I'm confident will continue to decline and will not support quality journalism. There have to be other revenue streams. And the most typical one has always been letting the most loyal, avid readers help cover the expense.
And advertisers, I think it's worth pointing out, do pay attention to the most loyal readers, and particularly as translated in the idea of paying online readers, they're going to value that a lot more than they did people who just click on a site by randomly coming across it. That is in tension, however, with this underlying philosophical argument expressed by many, including Emily Bell. She's the director of digital journalism up at the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism here in New York. She's also the past head of all the digital operations of The Guardian newspaper, which is based in the UK.
It was about getting The Guardian's journalism in front of as many people as possible so that they would value it in a different way. And I think that there are so many ways now whereby we can measure whether a piece of journalism is regarded as quality or good or valuable, which doesn't necessarily have a monetary unit attached to it.
Now, it's worth pointing out that Times, of course, allows you to access or share a certain number of articles a month before the paywall kicks in. But I did ask Emily Bell about what she thought some months later about how it had fared. Her response, short, cryptic, was, quote, "still too early to tell, and what's success?"
What about the local papers, and what does this mean for the average news reader?
What it really means is you're starting to see a proliferation of such experimentations occur around the country. In Dallas, in Providence, in the Baltimore Sun, Allentown, Pennsylvania, a smaller newspaper, a lot of mid and smaller sized news organizations are saying, we need to figure out a way to do this.
So, David, the news tip?
If you only listen to the naysayers, you'll never succeed. You cannot be afraid to fail. It's a time of experimentation in the news business.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thanks so much.
You bet.
If you want to drop us a news tip, visit npr.org/thenewstip, all one word. You can also follow us on Twitter, @David Folkenflik and @NPR Audie.